right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. It's a Wednesday. That means we check in with our buddy Jeff Poor from Lagniappe, Breitbart, Yellowhammer News, and, of course, the Jeff Poor Show on WVNN in Huntsville. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, good to be with you guys.
Good to be with you as well. So vote in the House today for... I thought they already had voted on the articles of impeachment. What are they voting on today?
Voting to transfer the articles of impeachment.
Really?
Just take them and send them to the Senate, which I'm not entirely positive that's constitutionally necessary, but they are going forward with that vote.
You have also heard that they literally walk those documents over to the Senate. And I also heard, I can't confirm this, that they wear trifold hats and ruffled shirts and big black shoes with buckles on it when they do it.
Was this like a scene from The Pilgrims or something?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know. I mean, but they don't think, I mean, they actually walk them down, the managers, and you explain that to folks who the managers are, walk them over to the Senate.
Right. But the walk them with the sergeant of arms, you know, but the big question here was, because there was some question whether or not Pelosi was going to go ahead and bring them over, and Mitch McConnell had put this entire month of January aside for nothing but impeachment. Here's already halfway through. It's the 15th. Did you need the articles of impeachment to actually go through impeachment? Because if you look at what the Constitution says, does it say that this ceremonial transfer is really a necessary step in impeachment constitutionally?
Here's the problem. There's been a lot of things that come out of this that I'll have to go Googling and looking for the answer, because it's not top of mind for me.
Well, it should be. It's only happened. This will be the third time it's only happened in our history. So that's, you know, it's just not many of you maybe remember 1999, but certainly none of you remember Andrew Johnson. So, I mean, this is, here we go again. This is going to happen every 20 years, it seems like, because it almost happened with Nixon. It didn't quite get there, but we went down that path. So it looks like this is something now in modern American history we're going to run into every couple of decades.
Pelosi was holding these articles back, I guess, as some form of leverage that she thought she had. Why did she finally break?
Her caucus wanted her to go ahead and go through with it. So, you know, imagine you're Nancy Pelosi. You have this situation where, you know, you have Rashida Tlaib saying impeach the MF-er on one hand, and then you have these other members that were told this is the most urgent thing right now. In order to save the Republic, Western civilization, we have to go forward with this impeachment. There's no time to waste. We have to do it the way we did it. We have to do it in the skiff through the Intelligence Committee. They have to act as the special prosecutor or whatever. And then we have to hurry this through the Judiciary Committee with Jerry Nadler. Time is of the essence. We have to do it now. And then they do it. And now they're sitting on these articles, but wasn't time the essence? And this is puts the people that are the vulnerable moderates, the 31 moderates that everybody talks about that are from districts Trump won in 16, but they're Democrat districts that flipped at 18. They're vulnerable because they went along with the Pelosi song and dance, and now Pelosi was just sitting on those impeachment articles, even though they were... time was of the essence.
All right, so it makes its way to the Senate. Now the Democrats do not control the timeline or the expediency. That's in the province of Mitch McConnell. So what happens?
Yeah, well, they don't have enough votes to acquit. They don't have enough votes for Republicans. There's a handful of Republicans that are going to want to proceed forward with the formalities of impeachment. Otherwise, I think if they had the votes, you would have somebody make the motion, Josh Hawley of Missouri or someone like that, or Lindsey Graham of South Carolina, say, I move to quit and end this silliness right now, and they would have the vote. And if they could get to 51, they would do it. But there's some questions about Susan Collins, Cory Gardner of Colorado. There's other questions about Mitt Romney, of course, of Utah. And some of these other Republicans that are now in these moderate or these purple states that are going to, at the behest of their constituents, kind of like Jeff Flake and Kavanaugh, are going to want to go through with some of the endeavor of calling witnesses and hearing from people like John Bolton or whomever.
Or you heard yesterday from House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy that it's actually a big conspiracy that comes from the Pelosi camp to benefit Biden and hurt and hurt Sanders in the presidential cycle. And I mean, listen, you could make this case. Is it conspiratorial? What was your take on hearing that?
A lot of people are saying that. A lot of people are saying, you know, as you know, if we have an impeachment, then the senators, even if you're running for president in Iowa at this moment in time, you're compelled to be there. You can't be in Iowa campaigning. That you're not allowed to. I'm going to take a pass on this. So it would be Amy Klobuchar, Bernie Sanders would have to be there, Elizabeth Warren. Guess who doesn't have to be there? I guess the top six on the stage last night, those three, and then there's Joe Biden, Peter Buttigieg, and then Tom Steyer. They won't have to be there. They can be there campaigning on the ground, shaking hands, doing whatever in Iowa to win the Iowa caucuses. It's a very unique system in Iowa they have compared to anywhere else, but they could be there kind of running their campaign while you have all the senators sequestered on Capitol Hill for an impeachment trial, and something that would give an advantage to those candidates not in the United States Senate.
Well, okay, but I mean, in McCarthy's, what he said yesterday, he really kind of just made it a binary choice, right? He focused on Bernie Sanders, which, you know, is interesting to me because we all watched what happened to Bernie Sanders. The Democrat machine made sure, whether, you know, through whatever method or superdelegate method, that he wouldn't become the nominee for the Democrats and it would be Hillary. But also, he didn't mention Steyer. He didn't mention Buttigieg. He mentioned Biden. And he called on Biden specifically to stop campaigning during the period of time that the Senate would be looking at this removal.
Yeah, and then, you know, that's the thinking out there, that they don't want, the Democratic establishment does not want Bernie Sanders as their nominee. And this is the problem they ran into with George McGovern when he got just creamed by Richard Nixon, right? You had a time in American history when the radical far left controlled the Democratic Party. We could talk about the history there. But they go far left with their nominee, and it doesn't sell. And that's what they get. They get a landslide election in that 72 election, or 68 election, and then you get Richard Nixon. So anyway, the point is there that there's this fear that Bernie's going to be the same thing, and you're going to have that same kind of wipeout.
So, okay, this is it's a side story to what happens in the Senate
with Pelosi holding back those articles. One of the things she said was that they couldn't choose their managers until they knew what kind of trial they were getting. So what importance do these managers play from the House? How do they choose them, and what's their role once this goes to the Senate trial?
Yeah, they essentially bring the case. They're the, if this were a court of law, they would be the prosecutors. And then the prosecutors that run it, you could go back, was it Lindsey Graham, I think, was the House manager when Bill Clinton was impeached, and they make the case. And they argue it just like a prosecutor would. And you're going to have, on the other side of that, you're going to have whoever represents the Trump administration, or the president, not the administration, but the president himself. And it's just going to be like a trial. So what Pelosi, I think, is wanting to see is what the rules of the trial will be, so she can make whoever the House manager that is best suited to handle those circumstances. I would imagine right now somebody like Adam Schiff or somebody will be that. I mean, former U.S. attorney, not a very good one, I heard, but former U.S. attorney, and also was kind of spearheading the Intel Committee's query into Donald Trump initially. So, you know, that I think that was maybe not really the reason, but that was what she was telling people, that she needed to know the playing field that the House was going to have to face to present their case to remove Trump.
All right, can you hang on with us for just a little bit?
Absolutely.
All right, coming right back, more with Jeff Poor, and we'll talk about some Montgomery politics, too. That'll give you a chance to reference that STD story. Montgomery, number 5 in the nation. Cases of STD, our seat of government. Those two things are true about Montgomery. All right, coming right back. This is Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5. FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings on this Wednesday. Sean at Dalton, phone number for us, for everybody around here. 343-0106 works as a text or a phone call. And we continue our conversation with Jeff Poor. And Jeff, I have a little bit more of Washington, but then I do want to shift gears to Montgomery. That is, by the way, if you hadn't seen the number 5 in the nation per capita for cases of STDs. I don't know where Washington came in on that. I don't know where the district.
I think they were mid-20s.
You do? Okay. Jeff, let's talk. So this going forward, we've got the Senate issue here going on. What about the side discussion of the presidential powers and the War Power Act? Where does that stand, and does this hamstring President Trump at all?
No, I mean, it's something you would have to expect Donald Trump to sign a bill that would take powers away from him, from the presidency. It's just not going to happen because it got through the House, but even if it got to the Senate, where it's dead on arrival, let's just say, Mitch McConnell hits his head and decides to allow this legislation, and for whatever reason, everybody votes for it and it makes it through, it would have to get to some kind of veto-proof threshold. It's not going to happen. So this is DOA, as they say.
All right. Shifting gears to STD Montgomery, and start of session coming up next month. One of the questions here is about medical marijuana, and if we can remind folks, it was in session last year, this bill came up, and it looked like it got a little bit of traction, and then they decided to have a committee do some research in it and bring it back up this year, right?
Right, so it got through the Senate last year, and last year was a weird year. A lot of bills got passed by the Senate. Marsh was flirting with the idea of running for the United States Senate, but a bunch of bills got through the Senate, and they just went to the House to die. One of those was medical marijuana, and you could go back and look at Dr. Larry Stutz, senator from the Shoals, and then across the river, Senator Tim Belson in Florence. They had the big back and forth over it. They're both licensed physicians, and whether or not it should be a thing. But it made it through the Senate, and then the House said no. The rules were different. I believe Mike Jones, Andalusia, said he kind of stopped it from even making it to the floor because was at the time the chair of the Rules Committee. So medical marijuana died in the House. This time, are they going to take another shot at it? All signs pointed to that. They had the commission over the break, and they thought they had something hammered out that they could get everybody to agree with, that it was going to be acceptable, and it had all these carve-outs for the business community saying, you know, if somebody stumbles and gets hurt while they're high on marijuana at work, then the liability is not on the employer, or, you know, you could still fail a drug test and be because of medical marijuana. And all these things everybody had worked out, hammered out. And then in the 11th hour, it seems, last week, Attorney General Steve Marshall puts out his opinion, sends a letter to lawmakers and saying that he opposes it on various grounds, but the primary reason he opposes it is that it is a Schedule I drug, that it is illegal according to the federal government, and he doesn't think that states should be passing laws that are in direct conflict with federal statute.
Okay, I found that debate to be very interesting over time. I've told folks that when Jeff Sessions was the Attorney General of the United States, those that are for marijuana legalization, even recreational, he was going to be their best friend because he would force the issue of enforcing federal law, which would finally make the legislature do something. Because we're living in a world where the federal law says it's illegal, and there are states openly defying that federal law, correct?
Right. Well, okay. Here's kind of my opinion on it. When has the Alabama legislature ever been known to do anything that wasn't in direct conflict with federal law at least one time during the year?
You're pretty much right.
Last year, the abortion ban. Yeah. You don't get any more in defiance of Roe v. Wade, which according to our system of jurisprudence and governance, that is the law of the land, even though we could agree or disagree with it. The legislature passed a law that was in direct conflict with that, but you could go all the way back to the Civil War through Alabama's history. We could think of George Wallace standing in the schoolhouse door, Alabama, we dare defend our rights. Mm-hmm. We have been a states' rights state, and that the states are the laboratories of democracy. Therefore, you know, why all of a sudden this change in tune that we're going to play by the federal government's rules? It's very curious.
Well, it is to me as well. So the next part of this, it just in my brain was, okay, let's say in scenarios that the legislature does pass the medical marijuana bill and it becomes the law of the land. This is what I want to ask the Attorney General. What would he do? because it's his job to enforce state law or federal law. And I mean, I think that's, you know, let's say right now he's talking about his opinion on it, but what if it is the law of Alabama that medical marijuana is legal? Is he going to go shut down those places?
That's a question. I don't think he would. Here's what I think would have to happen, though. And he does have some authority to decide one way or another on this. But if the federal government, for whatever reason, picked on Alabama and decided it was going to go after Alabama for having medical marijuana in these dispensaries, then he would have to defend our law that the legislature passed, just as he would have to defend the abortion ban. The thing is, I think he couldn't act. It would have to go through some kind of federal court. That's where you would really have that. Would he think that he could take it to that level where he would enforce it? Maybe, you know, we saw what happened with the bingo wars, but that would have to take a heroic leap of use of authority for him to do so.
So we don't know. I mean, and that's why hopefully
I wouldn't think he would. But here's the problem with what he did. It's not so much any of that. It is I think the members that would have voted one way or another on this were marginal. I think that you had started to get some members in the House. I think you maybe had the votes in the Senate. I'm not sure, but in the House, you had some members that could go either way. And they were leaning for voting for medical marijuana. Now they have cover to vote against it. They can,
gotcha,
point to this letter, and they can say, well, the Attorney General says this is a bad idea. I'm going to err on the side of the legal expert here.
I'd love to do this and help out the people, but because of this Attorney General opinion, I can't do it.
Right. So it sways the votes to kill the votes. So it's not so much what he would or wouldn't do.
I got
it's
you.
The politics of the legislature. Because I think what had happened was there's so many people out there. So you got to do this because it's the compassionate thing to do. It's the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that was forcing some members to lean toward, okay, I guess I got to go along with it. I'm going to be seen as some kind of inhumane individual. And they got pushed in that direction. Now they have this letter to give them cover to vote against it because they didn't want to vote for it all along.
That is the insight you get from Jeff when you see votes go down in Montgomery. You know there's a little more backstory. Because, I mean, I'm interested in all parts of this. I'm a person that, I guess, just a voter and a person, I'm pro legalization of medical marijuana, even with the realization that a lot of places it is the stepping stone to recreational marijuana. I get that. But at the same time, I am interested in this dichotomy between federal law and state law. And you point out some good hypocrisies here, and then you point out the fact that this may be just the thing that person needed to be able to have their cake and eat it too when it comes time to vote in the House or Senate.
Yeah, because you can make arguments on the merits of both sides, mm-hmm. but the politics of it was to stop this in the legislature. And Marshall may have his reasons. I think there's a lot more there behind why and why not he is for and against. You have some very powerful law enforcement forces that are against it. You have some other, you know, pharmaceuticals and things like that that are against this. You have a lot of things, a lot of reasons that, you know, where Steve Marshall would traditionally line up with, mm-hmm. that are against legalizing medical marijuana, and this was an opportunity. He didn't do it too early where they could argue it. He did it at the right time so that the vote is clouded when it gets to the legislature.
Very interesting. We got about 30 seconds left. Remind folks too what they're going to hear on Saturday here at FM Talk 106.5.
Yes, 10 a.m. at the Daphne Civic Center. You can hear me and perhaps some others. We're having the Alabama 1st Congressional District debate for the Bowdoin County Republican Party. I will be the moderator. It will air on FM Talk 106.5, so hopefully you will tune in.
All right, we'll keep reminding you all of that, but that is in the slot that's normally the midday replay on Saturday. Jeff will be there, and we'll talk to Jeff more between now and then. Thanks, man.
All right, thanks for having me on, Sean.
All right, news is next.
All right, 8:35, FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings. Time to head over to McConnell Automotive and talk to Mitch McConnell. Hey, Mitch.
All right, Dalton. How are you this morning, buddy?
I'm doing great. The shopping experience at McConnell Automotive, it can't be beat. Tell us what we can expect when we come out to the lot.
Well, really, Dalton, I think if people have had a bad experience, then they really need to give us a shot because we just hear it all the time, people getting hassled and, quite frankly, not getting honest prices. And anybody out there in the market for a used car, we've got a great collection, you know, and new Buicks and GMCs, nobody beats our deals. We've got 20% discounts off trucks right now. But what we do, Dalton, differently is just make people feel respected and take care of them. And we've been doing it since 1955. We just hope people give us a shot, man. And the website, McConnellAutomotive.com, the easiest place to do it.
All right. Thank you, Mitch.
Y'all have a great day, buddy.
You too. That's Mitch McConnell. Go see him and the crew at McConnell Automotive. You'll find them on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65.
Right, 836 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Pretty interesting. I hope you're digesting some of what Jeff said there. And I'm trying to get the Attorney General on the show. Started asking last week. He's good. He ends up coming on with us a good bit. And hopefully we'll have him on this week, if not the beginning of next week. Because there's a couple, I mean, outside there's the discussion of medical marijuana. Okay. But beyond that, there is this question of if you have an Attorney General come out with an opinion like he did, which he did well within the rights of the AG's office, to say his opinion on legality of medical marijuana. Okay. And we've talked about this over time, that you've got states that are just in direct violation of federal law, mm-hmm. direct violation. So I would like to see that change, but the legislature in Washington is not going to change it because they don't have to. Right now, the states are doing it. They don't have to take a vote on it. It's why I kept saying, if Jeff Sessions would have remained as AG, he would have really cracked down on that, and that would have forced the legislatures
make a choice.
Yeah, they would have had to. They would have said the states would have been screaming bloody murder, being shut down by federal operators. They would have talked to their members of the House and Senate, and they would have moved with a bill to remove the federal statute that makes marijuana illegal. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's bun. So you have RAG step up and say, I don't see this as being legal. And what he's saying in his opinion is factually is correct, that it's in violation of federal law. But like is pointed out by Jeff, when did Alabama go and say, well, federal law says it's this way, so we're not going to, I mean, we have a habit of finding something that we're going to, you know, challenge federal law on.
Yeah, and I know as the Attorney General, his job is to enforce the laws that are on the books, but I wonder politically whether that was a savvy move, because you would assume that most of the Republicans that would back and have backed Steve Marshall prior to this, you would assume that they would be anti-marijuana, but in some of the polls...
The bills that have come up recently on medical marijuana are sponsored by Republicans.
Yeah, and so I think that that's even shifting in the Republican Party, how citizens view medical marijuana for sure. And keep in mind that medical marijuana and recreational...
I'm an advocate, yeah.
I think you could have medical marijuana and recreational marijuana as two separate conversations, but what we've seen so far in other states is usually medical marijuana is a stepping stone mm-hmm. towards
that's
recreational.
True. That's true.
And I wonder if that's not what Attorney General Marshall is most worried about.
Or you have the situation where you have medical marijuana acting like recreational marijuana. What's the old joke that Tommy Chong goes in California in the early days yeah. when they had medical, and he went in and went to the doctor. He said, what's your situation you need, you know, marijuana for? He said, well, doctor, I have anxiety.
Yeah.
He said, about what? About not having any marijuana. Okay, here's your prescription. But what would be interesting, number one, Jeff points out that legislators that want to have their cake and eat it too maybe can now, with his opinion from the AG, say, I sure would like to vote for this medical marijuana, but because of the opinion from the Attorney General Steve Marshall, mm-hmm. I can't. That's having your cake and eating it too.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, something kind of on this topic, but kind of not, the CBD stores, I wonder how that will factor into this, because we've had so many CBD stores pop up mm-hmm. in Alabama this year now, with that being legal, and also some of the hemp products that they're able to now make because the law had been changed. Is CBD a stepping stone to medical marijuana in any way?
I don't know. I tell you that when the bill was first brought up, Nelson's bill, and it had CBD linked with medical marijuana, the people that I did, not speaking for everybody, but two different people in the CBD world came to me and said, they got to separate these things in
right.
this bill. These are different. We don't want CBD to be in the same bill as medical marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
It is a different thing. and that lumping it together, they did not like that. And I can understand why.
Yeah, of course, because with CBD, it's non-psychoactive, mm-hmm. and you can, you know, drive after taking CBD, and you can drive after smoking marijuana. You shouldn't be driving after that, but right. Two totally different. They come from the same plant, but two totally different results.
So
when you take it.
Let me take a little side detour here. Let's go on the cul-de-sac. We're just going to go look at some houses on this cul-de-sac. And that is something my daughter said to me the other day. You mentioned hemp.
Mm-hmm.
And she was, there's this place she likes to eat in town. They do these Asian fusion bowl things.
Okay.
Okay. So I've never gone. I've sat outside as she goes in to get the thing. It's like, seems like a pretty pricey stuff, but she likes it. And she was describing one of them. She said, now they've got hemp on this thing.
Oh, they like powdered sugar or something?
I don't know. I don't know. And she, like, it's the fibers maybe of it or something like that. And I said, okay, we have jumped the shark. We've reached peak hemp.
Yeah.
Now, there are things that hemp, and we can go through the whole stoner conversation about things that hemp is good for. And I agree. I mean, hemp is, there's a lot of future in using for building products and for rope and then obviously for CBD and medicinal issues. There's a bunch of things. They can build houses with hemp. They mm-hmm. can do, it's stronger than, you know, other kinds of rope. I get it. I don't want to go through that whole conversation. But it is now the hip thing.
Right.
And now you're getting to a point where they're put, and now with, just picture the thing on a box of cereal or whatever, where they put the big starburst. And now with so-and-so.
Yeah.
And now it's just everything. Now with hemp, even places that it doesn't, like, you don't need it.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, and it's got hemp.
It's the new essential oils.
Yes,
it's the essential oils of 2020, putting hemp
now
on.
Now with hemp.
You know, there's 33 states that have medical marijuana legalized, and if Alabama were to vote to legalize it here soon, that would actually, as far as things that kind of take the United States by storm and are legalized state by state, normally Alabama is like 48th,
yes,
49th,
correct,
to jump in. So that would be, you know, pretty early for Alabama to jump into something as radical as medical marijuana.
But don't you know they're also looking at the revenue that would come in to the state?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a driving factor of this. Now with hemp. something that stood out to me. It would be interesting to see how this debate goes down in the House. Once again, I am looking at it from a perspective of somebody that's an advocate for medical marijuana. I've the research, and I have seen the contrary research too. I don't ignore one side. It seems like there are more opinions that show that medical marijuana can help people.
Mm-hmm.
Some people, not, and that's the scary thing. Does it get to be a blanket thing like, oh, you got a cold? You need some weed or something like
yeah.
that. There's very specific things that has been shown to help. And in a world where we prescribe heavy duty narcotics for people and things, I think it's a good thing. At the same time, I am not blind to the fact that it's used as a stepping stone to recreational. I'm not blind to the fact that the state sees dollar signs in this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that the AG's opinion also gives members of the legislature in Montgomery cover for their votes.
Yeah, and as far as being prescribed medical marijuana, I mean, there's kids in college and high school who game the system to get the ADHD medicine. That's basically speed if you don't need it.
Right.
If you don't have ADHD, you're basically using, you know, speed.
Right.
And now we see all these commercials where you can have online prescriptions. So it won't be that hard for someone to game the system for medical marijuana.
All right. Coming right back. More of Mobile Mornings. 343-0106. Fifty FM Talk 106.5
yeah.
Mobile Mornings. Hey, like, heads up here. Maids, the people that are doing great work cleaning our house, can do the same thing for you, and you can get a free estimate right now by calling them at 344-6626. 344-6626. Try to remember the number, but if you don't worry. Google the Maids, Mobile Baldwin County, and you'll see their phone number, 344-6626. Give them a call. They'll come to your house and give you a free estimate. And you can see if you want to get them on a, you know, weekly basis, twice a month, if you once a month. Or, you know, they do one-offs as well. They'll come get in your house ready for a big party or some event, getting things turned around for the new year. Give the Maids a call, and they're referred for a reason. I have so many reasons. Number one is just the job they do. And Shelby is a team leader for the group of maids that comes to our house. They're fantastic. I mean, it really is. It's baseboards, the ceiling fans, and everything in between that's cleaned. And also this time of year when you get lots of dust and the house stays closed up, they're running HEPA filtration on their vacuums. And they get the backpack vacuums. It makes them look like Ghostbusters. It's cool, though, because they're not rolling tires across the floor or whatever. They got the backpack vacuums, and they got the HEPA filters. They capture 99% of all dust, allergens, bacteria, pollen, pet dander, other pollutants right there out of the air. So not only does the house look great, it smells fresh, and the air is clean. Give them a call today. Get a free estimate. The Maids, 344-6626. All right, I want to read a text here, too, before I go any further. Although there are a lot of funny people talking about hemp cereal. What did David say? Hemp, now essential oils, now with hemp. I think we had reached peak hemp the other day when my daughter left the little place with the bowl of nutritious foods I can't pronounce, and she said, "Dad, they now can put hemp on it." I'm like, "That's why?" I mean, there's times that the hemp is the best substance for something, and there's times where it's just become the new.
Yeah, does it need to be on your acai bowl?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Do you even need acai in an acai bowl?
Just give me
the strawberries and blueberries.
I couldn't even, when she first started getting that, I didn't know how to pronounce that stuff. I don't know how to pronounce half of it.
Yeah, I called it acai for a good 10 years.
Yeah, you and I both, until I was told by the 14-year-old what was up. All right, so this texter says, so what's the problem anyways with recreational marijuana? Right now I can go buy enough alcohol to kill me 100 times over. It's a prudence issue. I'm not one who would use marijuana, even if it was legal recreationally, but I'm also not into a nanny state. Even though I can buy enough alcohol to kill me 100 times over, I'm not an alcoholic. I seriously doubt that if marijuana was legal recreationally, I doubt we'd have a large increase in heroin and meth addicts all of a sudden. All right, so a couple things here. Number one, you know, in today's world, and I appreciate this argument. This is somebody, it's a libertarian argument. You kind of, I mean, I reside in the same neighborhood as you. Unnamed texter on these things. All I'm pointing out is some pragmatic stuff. When I say that medicinal marijuana is a stepping stone in most cases to recreational marijuana, I'm not making a judgment. You know, we're in this world where there's no ability to have nuance.
Mm-hmm.
If you believe in something, you have to pretend that anything that's contrary doesn't exist. And this goes on in Democrat-Republican conversations down to whatever it is. I like this team, you like that team. Okay. That's not how I run my life. So as I am an advocate for medical marijuana, and I am laissez-faire about recreational marijuana, I don't care. I don't consume marijuana. I was in Colorado, when I was out there, the dispensaries and all that, they looked nice. Hoodlums hanging out. It was fine. Mm-hmm. You know, we rode by 25 of them. We were just out there in July, August. I don't care. Now, I know there'll be a lot of people who tell me why I should care, but I am pretty laissez-faire. If alcohol is going to be okay, but that, number one, I'm not a consumer. You can be for somebody else's liberty without being into the thing yourself. I know that's shocking to people. At the same time, I would be lying to you if I pretended that states didn't move from medical marijuana more easily into recreational marijuana. That's truth.
Right. That's what we've seen happen over and over.
Right. So that's not an anti. That's a truth thing. And yeah. I mean, if you can't, so I can be for, you know, say, which I am actively for medical marijuana. I'm like, nah, on recreational marijuana. You know, I don't think the consuming of any of the drugs is good for people, right? Let me just point that out. But I'm just, if that's their liberty, they want to do it. At the same time, I'm not going to sit here and people are going, well, you're going to be anti-marijuana because you're saying, I said, I'm not pro or anti. I'm pro-liberty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and looking at it from—
And honesty.
Looking at it from the eyes of politicians also and what might happen in Montgomery. That's why I brought up that this would be a stepping stone to recreational marijuana, because I think that's what the politicians in Montgomery are also thinking and looking at and planning ahead for what they may or may not have to vote for in the future. As far as marijuana itself, anything to combat the opioid crisis that we have, which is actually lowering the average lifespan of Americans. We've been growing year over year, longer and longer lifespans, and then the opioid crisis hit, and we've actually lowered the lengths of our lives, average Americans. And there's, you know, I don't think anyone should
And other people will say, well, that's a good thing because we can't afford the medical care that people yeah. across.
I mean, there's an argument for everything. Yeah. But I would rather be out there on the road with someone driving high on marijuana than someone completely loaded on opioids. And same with alcohol. Someone who went to the bar and drank themselves silly and then gets back out on the road, they don't need to be on the road at all. If they were instead going to stay home and, you know, smoke a bowl or two, I'd probably rather them be on the road than someone who is going to drink all night and then get out on the road.
I just don't want any of them on the road impaired. Because that's not liberty. The liberty is them ingesting the substance to alter their minds. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
If they do that in their own, and I've exercised through this argument forever. You want to go through the what does it mean for the kids in the house and whether the bills get paid. We can make that argument about any kind of distraction from regular life. People are responsible for their own, you know, doings. But when they get on the road, they now put themselves in the where they can hurt somebody else. That's where I change really quickly. But once again, this all goes back to a discussion of saying, you know what, I'm an advocate for medical marijuana, but I'm not going to pretend that it doesn't lead to recreational marijuana and others, because it has. So you can be both things. Hey, by the way, thank you, Hal, and others have been coming up with new ideas for putting hemp in things, because I think we've jumped the shark on this, on the hemp. Hal says the new Impossible Burger now made from hemp. See, that could be the good. Go on with that. Bob says, Sean, remember the scene from Forrest Gump when Bubba starts talking about shrimp? Do I? Gumbo shrimp, stew shrimp, kebab, shrimp kebabs. Just put hemp in there now for the new. It's kind of funny. They've gotten into a point where, you know, it's just whatever it is. And now with hemp.
And by the way, it's time for a new Forrest Gump. We need to get like a Forrest Gump set in the 90s where he invests in Google and does all these other things. A little bit more modern of a Forrest Gump, although you won't beat the original. But I know they were trying to plan a Forrest Gump sequel.
Yep.
And it was going to be like really sad and about the child that Forrest and Jenny had, growing up. So I'm glad they didn't make a really sad another version.
Was Zemeckis going to do the movie? Like he did?
I don't remember who was going to do it or what. I think that whoever wrote the original was going to write the script for that one.
But Winston Groom.
Winston Groom.
The novel.
That was a novel.
Fairhope Legend, Winston Groom.
I didn't know that.
But I don't know. He didn't do the
whoever
I don't
want
to step on my own foot here. I don't think he did the screenplay. But Winston, if you're listening, I had to get him back on the show. It's been a while since. He's a fascinating man to talk to.
That would be awesome. But how awesome would a new Forrest Gump be? I think that'd be cool.
See, Dalton's pressing my buttons. If y'all don't know, and I'm the guy that's when it's work on a Monday and everybody talks about the movies they've seen, and I'm the guy that goes, I don't know, I didn't see it. I don't consume a lot of it. The movies I've seen most of my life, and not even Star Wars, it's Forrest Gump and Smokey and the Bandit. What does that say?
Two good choices.
That's a tough admission for me. But yeah, the two movies I think I've watched, because I can watch other movies, but I don't want to watch them again. Mm-hmm. Once I've seen them, I'm not going to go back and watch. Okay. And Strange Brew. The movie Strange Brew. This is telling. Forrest Gump and Smokey and the Bandit. I'm a renaissance man in the world of film. Wow. How many times have you seen Smokey and the Bandit?
Maybe five times, six times.
Child's Play.
Yeah, you've seen it probably 10 times more than that. Still haven't seen Strange Brew. I know you've gotten on me about that.
Classic. Rick Moranis at his finest. Some fantastic stuff. All right, listen, Mike Gallagher on the way next. We'll be talking to you again live from Battleship Memorial Park and probably on the fantail of the USS Alabama. Midday Mobile on the road today. Y'all have a great one.